content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Kogal from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the January Glamour magazine. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached by kiwanisfoundation.org. And I have to also admit that I'm going to be reading a little bit from the Do You Know What Day Tomorrow Is book, just to highlight a few things that happened on this day or close to this day a few years back. And today we are going to start off with the birth date of Albert Schweitzer on January 14th, 1875. Albert Schweitzer, born in Alsace, was one of those rare geniuses who was involved in a multitude of activities. He was a theologian, a philosopher, a writer, a medical doctor, an organist acclaimed for his interpretations of Johann Sebastian Bach's works, and a mission director in Equatorial Africa. In 1899, he received a doctoral degree in philosophy. In 1900, another for theology. And in 1913, an M.D. degree. After receiving the latter, he and his wife, Hélène, ventured to Lambaren in Gabon, a province of French Equatorial Africa, after 1960, regarded as the Republic of Gabon, where, with the help of natives, he built a hospital. Later, he established a leper colony. In 1952, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his efforts on behalf of, quote, the Brotherhood of Nations, end quote. Schweitzer died on September 4, 1965. And pretty amazing person here. I wish I could just pick one of those multiple professions that he had and just kind of go for it, but he was quite a few. Theologian, philosopher, writer, medical doctor, an acclaimed organist. Anything interest you in any of those professions? All right, our next person is, well, I know you all know about Martin Luther King. Of course, his birthday is January 15. We all hear so much about him in school, so I will not bore you with that one, although he was an incredible person. But I will go on to January 16, where in 1978, on this date, the U.S. National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, accepted its first woman candidate, in fact, its first women candidates for astronauts, Sally Kirsten Ride. One of the six women chosen became the first American woman in space in June 1983 when she traveled as a crew member on the Space Shuttle Challenger. And finally, on January 17, 1706, the birth date of Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin was the 15th child and youngest son in a Boston family of 17 children. His parents were shop owners who made soap and candles. Young Franklin attended school for 2 years. He was excellent in reading, fair in writing, and poor in arithmetic. At age 10, he left school to help in his parents' shop. Learning on his own, Franklin became a jack of all trades and master of many. As a publisher, he developed the Pennsylvania Gazette into one of the most successful newspapers in the colonies from 1729 to 1766. From 1733 to 1758, he both wrote and published Poor Richard's Almanac, which contains his wise and witty sayings such as, early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. He was also a civic leader, serving as Philadelphia's postmaster in 1737 and deputy postmaster general for all the colonies in 1753. Throughout his life, he displayed inventive talent. He was one of the first men in the world to experiment with electricity. He invented the lightning rod, the Franklin stove, and bifocal glasses. He was also the first scientist to study the movement of the Gulf Stream in the Atlantic Ocean. Besides all this, Franklin established an academy in Philadelphia that became the University of Pennsylvania. Franklin's political efforts centered around the then-evolving United States. He was one of the guiding hands in drawing up the Declaration of Independence and played an important role in the nation's formative years. He died on April 17, 1790, at the age of 84. And that's going to be it for the people who are very important in our lives today, who were born right around the January 18th time frame years ago. Okay, and so today is January 18, 2018. Have you gotten used to writing 2018 rather than 2017 on your papers and whatever you write the date on? All right, so last week we started an article from the Glamour January 2018 issue entitled, How to Take Your 2018 Up a Level. And last week we talked about level one. We talked about make your house clean in 5 minutes, disguise your dirty hair, act like an overconfident man, look like you know the answer when you really super don't, and stay pleasant in a conversation with someone you totally disagree with. All right. Now, today we're going to continue on level two. So we're taking it up another notch. All right. So this is called Effort Level 2. You'll work it a little, and it starts fine. You've made it through the easy stuff, but you also realize that some life skills worth acquiring for real can be trickier. So if you're willing to put in a moderate amount of mental energy and exertion, plus a little bit of time, the upcoming moves will help you put your best foot forward. All right. How to find a workout you don't hate. Exercising make you miserable? Here's what to do, or what to try, if you think you hate group classes. Download the Studio Tone It Up app, $12.99 a month, at the App Store. You can sign up for virtual bar, that's B-A-R-R-E, kickboxing, yoga, and dance cardio sessions, and do the workouts without interacting with other humans in spandex at 7 a.m. All right, so here's what to try if you think you hate running. Give this a shot. Run for 1 minute, then walk for 1 minute. Repeat for 30 minutes. Look, you've racked up a quarter of an hour of jogging already. If you're digging that magical post-miles high, gradually increase your running minutes as you cut walking minutes. Here's what to try if you think you hate seemingly endless bicep curls. Drop the weights and experiment with something that works your whole body. Do 5 squats, holding the heaviest dumbbell you can at chest height, comfortably and safely, of course. Rest. Then repeat 3 times. That's it. You will be sore the next day. Love that feeling? Google, quote, strength training program, end quote, and get to work. And finally, here's what to try if you think you hate slogging away on a machine. Rather than suffering solo, let your competitive spirit motivate you at studios like Cycling Mecca, Flywheel Sport, or High Intensity Spot, Orange Theory Fitness, which quantify your class performance and let you race against yourself each time you sweat. Let's do this. And this is by Sarah Gaines Levy. Okay, another option or idea for your level two, cook dinner more often this year. Sometimes it's overwhelming to get home from a long day and be faced with the necessity of feeding yourself. Personally, I'd rather curl up and binge-watch Veep. Alas, this is not the best way to get all your vital nutrients. So instead, I've come to rely on a few tricks to help ensure cooking happens at least sometimes. It's also healthier, restaurants love butter, and less expensive. Have these items on hand: yellow onion, garlic, sweet potatoes, chickpeas, and cans of black beans and crushed tomatoes. They're always in my pantry. They keep for a long time. And you can combine them in a lot of ways: a vegetarian chili, filling for burritos, pasta sauce. All right. Have one super simple dinner you do really well. Before I open a delivery app, I remember I make an extremely good quesadilla and can be eating it in 10 minutes. My secret? Coating the tortillas with olive oil and salt on both sides before cooking. Cook one meal on Sunday that lasts for several days. I recommend frittatas since they can be served at any temperature and work with a variety of vegetables, herbs, meat, or cheese, whatever you have on hand. Really. Bonus, they're easy. All right, and here's a life hack. My go-to birthday gift is a donation to the David Sheldrick Wildlife Trust. I don't have to run out to buy wrapping paper, and no one ever gives the same thing. And that's from Ellen Pompeo, star of Grey's Anatomy. All right, some other effort level two. Here is pick the right shade of concealer. Celebrity makeup artist Andrew Sotomayor and Katie Jane Hughes have the 4:1:1 on foolproof coverage. All right, set yourself up for success. Before trying on cover makeup, take off any makeup you're wearing and, if you can, bring samples over by window to see their true color in natural light. Swatch with intent. Testing on the back of your hand never fails, but if you're looking to cover circles, try swiping on your wrist. It's veinier for more accuracy. Utilize your phone. Before you leave the store, see if the shade passes the phone test. Snap a selfie to check how it blends. Can't buy in person? Find a social media sister who has similar tones and see what she's using. Go one shade lighter than your foundation. Any lighter and it won't have enough warm undertones to correct dark circles. Any darker and you'll still look tired. And keep in mind, concealers are often lighter on skin than they look in the tube. And finally, let your needs guide your product type. For minimal coverage, test a buildable creamy formula like Glossier Stretch Concealer. For touching up redness, use a precise moisturizing click pen like CoverGirl Vitalist Healthy Concealer. And for oilier areas, try a blurring powder-based concealer like NARS Soft Matte Complete Concealer. And here's a life hack. I go through my purse every few days to toss any garbage. It takes no time, and it feels so good to find my keys without having a heart attack. And that's from Cicely Bennett, Professional Organizers. All righty. And then after a huge mess up, here's a way of picking yourself up. We've all made mistakes. Nobody knows this better than Letitia Gaska. A TED Talk style event series speaker where people share their stories of failure. The idea came to Gaska and her friends one night over the Universal Truth Serum Mezcal. We realized that we'd talked about sex, love, even mommy issues, but never about our failures, she says. The drunken conversation between close friends spurred a global movement. F-CKUP nights now take place in 252 cities with 5 years of studying this under her belt. Gaska shares some of the best stories she's heard and what you can learn from them. 1. Own your flops. I started an organization helping women in Puebla, Mexico, sell their embroideries. I didn't account for all costs, and after 2 years, it failed. I felt so bad. I didn't share that story for 7 years. But finally, telling the story led to having nothing to hide. You're freer to start new projects. Start from scratch. A dancer told me that the night before her biggest show ever, she broke her leg in rehearsal. The doctor told her she'd never perform again. So she created and now teaches a new kind of dance that's more about enjoying the music than moving to the rhythm. Don't forget, you can create something new. And three, take the advice. One woman at our event founded a tech startup. The first advice she got was to focus on the hardware, which she ignored. At pitch time, the hardware wasn't ready, and no one would fund her. Listen to advice from smart people, even just to see how you can grow from it. All right, now, how to act like you can dance. I am the world's worst dancer. Ever since I hit the middle school party circuit, my signature move has been disco fingers. Picture them moving from side to side a la John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever. There was a phase when I attempted the shimmy, but I'll spare you the details. That all changed last summer when I took a dance class at Broadway Bodies, which teaches choreography to top 40 hits. They made it so easy, even I could stumble along. I learned that dancing, whether you're using disco fingers or emulating your favorite pop star, is all about confidence. Even if you can't get the steps, if you confidently act like you've got them, people will buy it, says Rebecca Bradford, a Broadway Bodies instructor, who outlines a few moves inspired by patron saint of dance, Queen Bey herself. All right, Beyoncé's booty move. There's the classic Beyoncé booty pop, where you walk your feet to the side and then pop your booty back. But if you just move your booty at all, you're golden. Another iconic, easily replicated Beyoncé favorite is the hair flip. Lift your shoulders up and down really fast while keeping your feet still and flipping your hair to the right and left. The more you flip, the more you'll sell it. A fail-proof move for the club or your living room. Also popular, dropping it low. Start off with your heels together and toes pointed out. Then bend your knees and come all the way to the floor. When you come up, stick your booty out, arch your back, and scoop your head all the way up to the standing. You can add a body roll, any arms, or playing with your hair, whatever you're comfortable with. And finally, the most important part of all, FTC. At Broadway Bodies, we say FTC, which means F-CK, the choreography. Because the choreography is not important. Whatever your body does is perfect. Confidence is the key to dancing like Beyoncé. And dancing in general. And this article was by Samantha Leach. Next, we're going to master your to-do list. Young women, rejoice! I, Kelly Corrigan, a woman of a certain age who has found happiness at home and at work, am here to tell you how to clear out your mental clutter. It's easy. It's easier than you probably think. But it does require subscribing to this foundational belief. You don't have to be good at everything. Once we accept this, then it generally comes down to only one thing. Be discerning about what goes on your to-do list. In the last month, I've been told I have to get a slow cooker, should remodel my bathroom, and need new bras. To which I've learned to say, either out loud or in my head, or not. My refusal to engage on these fronts may come across as laziness or pride, but it's neither. It's intentionality. It's remembering I'm already booked. Pulled pork, new bathroom tiles, mall trips, the These choices become a bulging to-do list, and I finally sorted out that your to-dos should reflect what you think really matters. My bras are fine, laughably ugly, but good enough. I make a nice chicken salad and better than average deviled eggs. The loo? It could be spectacular in the hands of a good architect, but the toilet flushes and the shower is hot, and I don't want to run home to meet the tile guy. I want other things. My mom is my role model in this regard. She likes bridge and daily mass and not so much else. She likes to lock the house up early, maybe watch some ESPN as she falls asleep. Her impressive ability to, quote, take a pass, end quote, and sit this one out horrified me when I was growing up. But now as a grown woman, I bow down to her. I imitate her. Some might wonder what the harm is in loading up a to-do list just in case you end up with an extra hour or two. I found the cognitive load of a teeming list I knew I'd never complete left me with a looming sense of failure. And it's hard to get anything done when you're secretly beating yourself up for never finishing anything. All right, so forget trying to be good at everything. Forget multitasking. Let's hear it for monotasking. Let's hear it for being selective, taking control, saying no. So pick a few things to do, things that make you feel like you, and do them slowly, with care, with joy. I really live like this, by the way. This isn't a plucky bit of advice I wrote up for glamour. I don't exercise or shop or do my hair very often. I save my mental juice for my work, which I mostly love, and my family and friends, whom I definitely love. That's all I can fit. As for the rest, I've made peace with being good enough, which clears the way for a touch of great every now and then. And that's by Kelly Corrigan, author of Tell Me More, which is out this month. And finally, get a higher salary at a new job. You're between a rock and a hard place when you're angling for a salary jump. With a potential employer, you can't flat-out lie about how much you're paid, even though women, generally speaking, are underpaid. But you also have the most leverage if you avoid saying your exact salary in an interview, because the interviewer may have more to offer. Here, ways to thread the needle. When asked for current salary, reply, I'm looking for X amount. It allows hiring managers to know whether you'd be happy with an offer. If pressed, say something like, it's complicated because I have bonuses and stock grants. And that's by Marcy and Albert, a hiring manager. You can say, my salary is X, though that's the reason I'm job searching. It sends the message a bigger offer is expected. And that's by Susan Heathfield, an HR content expert. If employers ask for salary history, you can calculate a higher figure by bundling freelance projects and other income with full-time work to provide your total yearly income. And that's by Amanda Ponzar, a chief marketing officer. And finally, what you were making is irrelevant. Say, I want a salary commensurate with the demands of the job. Suggest a figure more assertive than the high end of the market rate. Don't disclose the least you'd accept unless you want to make just that. And that's by Malia Mason, a professor of Columbia Business School. All right, we have how to make your phone battery last longer. We all have that friend who's always on her phone without it ever dying. How? I asked one of these mysterious creatures, a.k.a. my roommate, Jillian, for her secrets. Tess Cornfield, I can't remember the last time your phone died. What the heck? Jillian Puhala, I'm always tinkering with the settings to save the battery. I frequently switch my phone to low power mode even if I'm at 80%. And when I'm charging in a rush, turning on airplane mode makes it faster. I'm also constantly closing out power draining apps and tabs. All right, Tess Cornfield, what other tips are you holding out on us? JP, Julian Puhala, I obviously can't live without email, but I switched the email settings under mail, contacts, calendars, so it refreshes less often. You can also stop automatic background downloads under General in Settings to save power. Plus, I never leave home without at least one portable charger. It's nerdy, but I'd start to panic if my phone ever got to 15%. I'll shout it from the rooftops, I love portable chargers. TK, maybe I'll just borrow your phone when mine is... JP, I still use I didn't get your text. My phone died. But you never really have to live like that if you don't want to. All right, and our very last thing, how to pull any outfit together. Make the clothes you threw on in 2 minutes look curated. With hoop earrings, big ones, little ones, mismatched ones, hoops are in. But the ones that make you look chic instantly are classic gold. With a bright bag, a bold bag. Red was its very own trend this fall. Serves as a focal point of your look. And with a printed coat. Fashion editor secret, we throw statement coats over basic outfits so that we always look compliment worthy. And with a buckled belt, into jeans and tee moments, add a belt with a fancy buckle to up your luxe factor. And with cat eye shades, these sunnies make you look like you know fashion even if you don't, no shade. And with white booties, it may take a beat to get over the fact that black booties aren't the answer, but trust, white ones are sharper. Well, that half hour sure went fast. Lots of good ideas in this Glamour magazine for 2018. But we have run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anika Gal, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradioreadingservice.org. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached by kiwanisfoundation.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Have a great week. See you next week.